Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and online business. My name is Doug Cunnington. I'm your host. This is part two of the interview with SEO Jesus. His real name is Stuart Vickers. Super nice guy and striking resemblance to Jesus. So check out his branding, and we're going to talk about YouTube and personal branding. One thing to note, and I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I've been doing YouTube for, wow, it's been a long time now. I think 2016, I really started taking it a little more seriously. And one thing I encourage people to check out is a lot of the prominent SEO folks are doing a lot more on YouTube. If you just kind of look around, you'll see they have their own channel. They're trying to be on other channels. They're trying to collaborate. And they're trying to build their brand and personal brand even more on YouTube versus SEO, even though they are world-class, very good SEOs that are practicing on a high level with many years of experience. They are trying to build channels. So it's one of those things where you can observe what people are doing, and you may realize that they're doing it for a specific reason, and maybe you should do that as well. And I like podcasting. That's why I started this show. But just a quick little side note, I mean, people are trying to expand. Even when they were doing SEO, like that's the only thing they were doing for many years, they're now branching out and they see the power. They see the writing on the wall that they need to be on many different platforms and have as much independence as they could possibly get away from just relying on Google. And I'll leave it at that, but I'll swing around and catch you on the other side here. Okay, so let's shift into YouTube and personal branding. And, you know, we mentioned before SEO Jesus. For people that haven't seen you and they're listening, you a striking resemblance to Jesus. You have really long hair and a great beard.
Yeah. So the full story is, I'm into metal. So I've had long hair for years. Then I think it was around the pandemic. I had some, at the time, quite intricate sideburns and facial hair, hence my men's grooming website. And people find it quite ironic that you built this shaving website whilst in the pandemic you happened to grow a beard. I'm like, yes, you know how SEOs don't actually use the products they're promoting. But I did have an interest in that from beforehand when I was clean shaven. Anyway, so after that, after the pandemic, started getting van drivers heckling me saying, all right, Jesus. Okay, this is the thing, apparently.
Yeah.
And I was at an event in Bangkok 2 years ago, got talking to this guy, very friendly, and he just sort of hesitated. And it was clear he'd been trying to find the right moment, thinking, I've just met this guy, when's an appropriate time to say, so why don't you do the SEO Jesus thing? Well, I thought about it a few times, other people have mentioned it, maybe. So I went on to Namecheap. This is on a rooftop bar in Bangkok. SEOJesus.com is available. So I thought, I'm having it. Left it for about a year. And then I'm just telling people this funny story. And they're all saying, that's so good, you've got to do that. And from the minute you told them this hypothetical story, wasn't this funny when I got called SEO Jesus, that then becomes all they're ever going to call me, to the extent I was then speaking at masterminds and I was being introduced not as Stuart Vickers, but as SEO Jesus. YouTube originally was Stuart Vickers until most recently, just a couple of months ago, I ran into Julian Goldie and he said, you should change your name on YouTube to SEO Jesus. Well, Julian Goldie says it, got to be good. So,
yeah, just very good. Okay, well, let's talk about starting on YouTube. It's a lot of work. It's hard. And from my standpoint, like I said, I'm a big proponent of people like starting a podcast, start YouTube, like do something. It'll probably be a train wreck for a little while as you're trying to figure things out. And then actually, if you look back, like if I look back from videos from just like 2 or 3 years ago, I see, oh, those are a train wreck too. So it means I'm hopefully constantly getting a little bit better or focusing on something to improve. But when you look at your, you know, your agency and the work you're doing, it makes total sense, because this is the part that people forget. Like, you don't have to know what you're going to sell, like, when you start the channel. But if people know you and trust you and they get used to watching your videos or interacting with you via email after you mention your email address on a podcast or something, the conversion rate is much higher because they kind of know you. It's like a very long, like, sales process. So can you talk about that a little bit? Have you seen impacts already from your channel?
Massively. So how do I keep this concise? Always wanted to do YouTube, but hesitated on it for years because I thought, as I see you now, you've got the microphone, you've got a really good setup. So there's always that sense of, I want to do it, but I need to buy all this stuff and need to find it, either edit it myself or find a video editor, got to vet them. But then you realize all you need to do is a simple screen share. Now, when I started the agency, I got, so I sold that website. Now I thought, I've got this money to start the agency. How do I get clients? I could just blast it on Facebook ads, probably not actually get anything out of it. Or I can go along to some high-level events, high-ticket masterminds, and if nothing else, I'm going to have a lot of fun. I ended up being invited to a mastermind. It was in Colombia. We had 2 days in the hotel doing the talks, but then we went whitewater rafting in the rainforest and got helicopters back. So when I got that invitation, I thought, it's a lot of money, but that's probably my best chance to actually get my first clients, is go where there's 20 six- and seven-figure entrepreneurs hanging out. If nothing else, what a great story. And it worked. And I tried to scale that. And in person is great for your first six figures, but very difficult to get beyond that. And there was this huge anxiety that to actually, clients do have a natural lifespan. Either if you underperform, then it's not great, but equally you can overperform and they say, great, we don't need you anymore. So I was always trying to crack online lead generation because there was this huge anxiety that one of these events would cost $4,000 or $5,000 to get to. So if I lost my clients, I'd have to make sure I'd have enough budget in reserve to then go out and replace them. So, and sometimes events just simply didn't work out. Still had a good time, but commercially unsuccessful. And so with the YouTube, yeah, I was trying everything online just to get online leads rather than in-person leads. And ultimately I just went for, as you say, really basic, complete forgetting about perfectionism. Yeah, I'm very much about done is better than perfect, radical imperfect action, to the extent that, so I was showing about some of the mass autoblogging.ai stuff I was doing, and I edited it myself and uploaded it and didn't even realize I'd used, I think, iMovie, and I'd exported the wrong video quality. So it was like 480p rather than 1080p. And I heard a great, what really got me going was I heard this great bit of advice that basically said, if you mess up in your videos and you get trolls coming up to you, that's good because it's engagement. I know a very big female YouTuber, and she basically said she'd have terrible time with trolls, but she embraced it because it would blow her up, to the extent she'd then start saying, it would start off with things like, here's five tips, and then say, you missed out number four. So then she starts nipping and missing out number four. And that's exactly what happened to me. So that video just blew up and everyone was saying, there were plenty of heckles saying, someone said, was this recorded on a Casio calculator? those people saying, this is really good content. And that absolutely blew up. So I thought, great, all I'm going to do is a really simple screen share every day. Now, end of September, that nightmare scenario I'd envisaged happened. So I'd had a really nice birthday weekend. And then Monday morning, I started getting emails coming from long established clients who are very happy, but for their own different reasons. One was medical treatment. One was her son had offered to do it for free, all those kinds of classic excuses you get as an agency owner. And one way or another, over that week, I lost half my clients in the space of a week. I'd started doing YouTube about 3 weeks before. And by the end of that week, I was getting leads in my inbox. I had done no conversion rate optimization. There were no opt-ins, no email list. They were just reaching out saying, I've seen you on YouTube, would love to have a call. And within 2 weeks, I'd replaced that revenue I had lost.
That's awesome.
And then by January, I tripled it.
Okay.
So basically the game plan is just an imperfect video every single day. And trying to keep up with Julian Goldie. He's recently he was always doing weekends, whereas I didn't do weekends. He's now said he's going up to two a day. So I'm like, right, got to go up to two a day now.
Hey, it's Doug here. And I hope you're enjoying the show. Ranking Revolution just launched, so I'd love your support. please subscribe wherever you're consuming this show. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you're really ambitious, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, an enemy, anyone that will listen. And I appreciate your support. Oh yeah, sign up for the email list too. There's a link in the description and show notes. You're awesome and have a great day. That's awesome. Yeah, and the thing is, getting those reps in, especially now, because like your channel is as small as it's ever going to be, like right now, and you're going to get better. And in 2018, I did 2 videos a day for like a month, just as a test. I was like, oh, a lot of people do daily videos. I'm gonna try to do 2 a day. And it was fine. And you get more views and the metrics went up. But the way I was doing it was a little unsustainable. But yeah, there's no better way to like get the practice in. If you turn your schedule down and you just publish like twice a week, then you can get like, you know, half a year done in a few weeks or something like that. So it's really powerful to like open up your schedule and all that. So that's pretty cool.
It's a tough one. So it's a holiday for 2 weeks. Now, in terms of client work, I got an account manager a couple of months ago. It was really good. So it means I'm really can just oversee everything. So I'm much more as just the consultant to my own agency, basically. So for 2 weeks out, they always say there's that 2 week holiday test. Do you have a proper business? Can you take 2 weeks off? And overall operations, really good. But new leads definitely dropped. So there is a sense of being trapped into that content grind. But equally at the same time, they say until you hit the $1 million mark, you just want one channel, one product, and we should hit that very soon. And then we'll probably look into, you know, paid more evergreen channels where you can switch off and, you know, come back to it later.
Anything else on like YouTube and in personal branding? Any mistakes you made in the short term, or maybe other than not starting sooner, right? That's the thing everyone would say, right?
Yeah, that's a classic. And I would definitely say that embracing imperfection thing. Loads of people I know who are now, yeah, they've seen me, they've seen other people. So steadily, there are more and more people piling into YouTube. But I can still see them doing these polished efforts. And I get it. Some people want to put out this perfect piece. But I'm saying I'm good. It's not a competition, but I will beat you just on sheer volume. As long as the content is still good, a basic screen share still works just as well as your animations and cutscenes and so on. And other things, personal branding. I wrote the book last year, but it wasn't particularly successful. I'm looking to do more books soon, but keep them more open-ended. So less about technical things like SEO and more about broader business mindset stuff. I've got the Google Knowledge Panel. People really appreciate that. That's just nice to have. It's quite nice to Google your own name and see you're regarded as a person to note. And all you have to do is follow the steps to actually get that triggering. I've got a YouTube video on it. No, I don't really think there's much else on there. I'm planning on doing a course on my whole YouTube process. I actually need the discipline to actually get it out there. But it really is as simple as, yeah, keep it simple, stupid. So it can be a basic webcam. I just use my iPhone. You can see I don't even have a fancy podcast microphone. I keep telling myself to upgrade, but just keep testing things out. And the great thing is, what I really love about it is it caps your downside risk, because it means you can play around with all these things, which in the past, that's always been my problem, because I'm playing around with all these different things, but not actually focusing on getting one thing to escape velocity. Whereas YouTube really rewards me for doing all these little experiments. I blow stuff up so that other people don't have to.
So one thing we have in our notes here that you sent over is how to reverse engineer whatever is on the SERP. So this is a highly actionable piece of information. So I'm going to just leave it to you to give us the steps and how you actually analyze what's going on so you can understand what's effective.
Yeah, so basically, I think I was just stuck in the sort of authority site, niche site philosophy of just focusing on my website. And I think those people fall into that trap, whereas really just want to keep an eye on the actual search result. So it wasn't really until, I started the agency, traveled the world, started networking with much more high level SEOs and a lot more of the cat crowd. And they're basically talking about different snippets and the map pack and all these different things. And you realize, yeah, SEO is so much more than your website. That's why I say about Reddit that even doing the Reddit stuff, you might think it's just spamming comments on Reddit. but you've still got to identify the Reddit results that are getting significant traffic. So Google tells you, all SEO is correlation. Google tells you exactly what is ranking right now. And so, yeah, I get people reaching out to me saying, helpful content update. I've lost 18% of my traffic. How do I fix it? And yeah, sometimes it's, unfortunately, it's all Reddit and LinkedIn where your website used to be. But there's no reason you can't do Reddit and LinkedIn. And that's been the big learning for me over the past few weeks that, like I say, a lot of things we perceive as threats really are opportunities. Because now if I want to go into a different niche, I can see there's LinkedIn and Reddit. Great, I can do that in 10 minutes. If I'm going to start a website in that niche, then it's going to be 6 months before I get out of the sandbox and get decent traffic.
Perfect. Okay. And it's really just the obvious, like if we are looking at the problem and the solution, we think is what we were doing before, like affiliate sites, and you start your own website and then you get into the sandbox and so on and so forth. And you're saying you could use a different tool instead of a website. And that tool is LinkedIn or Reddit or whatever the SERP is telling you, right?
And even methodology is like people still take some niche site philosophy of let's answer loads of questions, do loads of info content, and then try and funnel people towards an offer. Yeah, maybe I've got a course or something like that. But I'm often telling people that you realize, yeah, these questions and answers, they're being answered by all these snippets. You might still want them for topical authority, but do you actually have a page on your website for all those people searching for that course you offer and a page on your website that says, I offer this course? Because Google is never going to replace, yeah, e-commerce is untouched by helpful content update because someone searching for this item gets given this item. And that's not going to change with Bard, Gentoo search, anything like that. So if you've been promoting your own product through your niche website, then just optimize for that main keyword and you'll still perform.
Perfect. All right. So you have an agency. Who's a good client? Who are your ideal clients out there?
I mean, traditionally, I'd love to say my fellow affiliate site owners because that's where I started. But yeah, frankly, a lot of us have had a rough ride. And until Google sorts itself out, a lot of you might be better off doing Reddit and LinkedIn. But like I say, e-commerce really hasn't been touched. So my favorite niches are always the higher ticket stuff because basically you can have a lot of fun with it. And that's why I originally specialized in high ticket coaches because I had this shaving website and my average commission was a couple of dollars. That's why I then did spirituality site because I thought I could get an average commission more like $50. So over time, I've been fascinated by this idea of what's the highest margin for sale I can possibly get, because it takes the same resources to sell an expensive product as a cheap product. And what you generally find is for high ticket services, people are actually much more willing to part with their money. So I always say, I mean, it applies anyone who owns their own business and has actually got the margin for a done for you agency, then they could well be a good client. But I always like to be challenged in terms of if you were hypothetically trying to sell super yachts, private jets, I bet there's an opportunity there for SEO. And a lot of the time, the competition doesn't quite add up. Quite often in a higher ticket niche, for some reason, just like my insurance background, you can have really valuable products where the SEO competition just isn't there. Meanwhile, if you're an affiliate trying to sell lawnmowers on Amazon, you've got this saturated competition. So if you're an affiliate site owner, I would say, yeah, try and actually get your own product. And if you do have your own product with a lot of margin, then I definitely think we can rank that for you.
Very good. And do you have any other services there? What all do you do? Is it just link building? Something else?
I'm trying to be disciplined and stick with this one channel, one product until you hit the million. But like I say, we're not far off. And like I say, we really do include the content. So we started as a link building agency. I was following the same other link building agency out there, sort of modeled ourselves on, and I just tried to do a better version of those, really focusing on the quality links. But like I say, very quickly found a lot of clients just weren't a fit because the content wasn't up to scratch. And it's like, I'm not going to sell you links if I know they're not going to have that impact. But I realized, especially AI, we can very quickly revamp the site. So if your existing content, that main money keyword, is not already well optimized in the server, we can do that for you very quickly. If your overall topical silos, your topical relevance isn't there, if all your competitors have got 50 to 100 pages on this topic and you've got three, well, maybe in month one, we should just do 50 fully optimized articles. So that's basically how we start with most clients. It's not the best content in the world by any means, but it fulfills the entities. And pretty much every time it works out with an explosion of traffic, because not only are they building links for the first time, but they're also just ranking content that didn't exist before.
Very cool.
Things like press releases, citations, things like that. It can help with local SEO and the map pack. But fundamentally, I'm all about just content and links. Generally, whatever your business is, the chances are there's only a handful of keywords you really care about. So some people are all about building these massive websites. But for most people, I'd say certainly bricks and mortar businesses, it's often just 5 to 10 pages. Make sure the content is up to scratch. Make sure it's fast, all well optimized, and then just slam it with links until you're number one.
Awesome. Well, we have links for all your stuff that we'll put in the description and show notes and all of that. But where should people find you? Where do you want them to go? What are we going to list down there?
Yeah, hopefully by the time you get this, I'm still trying to keep up the 2 videos a day on YouTube. And I've also got the Ranking Revelations newsletter on SEOJesus.com. If you do watch the YouTube video, then I try to make a point. This is a good point in terms of YouTube strategy. Have a call to action, because so many people don't. And you might think you can slip something in the description, but who really reads the description? So if you want people to take action, tell them that in the video. So if you do go to my YouTube, you'll hear me repeatedly say, go to SEOJesus.com and join Ranking Revelations. All those videos I tried to share on LinkedIn, trying to build up my Twitter presence as well. But fundamentally, go to YouTube, go to Ranking Revelations. You won't miss anything.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Stuart. This has been a lot of fun. Hopefully we can get an update from you in a few months. Hear what you're working on.
Absolutely. When Reddit and LinkedIn has blown up and I've found something else to work on.
Thanks a lot to Stuart. Be sure to check out SEO Jesus over on YouTube. And hopefully I'll have him on again soon. I know at the very end of the episode here, we talk about when Reddit and LinkedIn have blown up, Stuart says he'll find something else to work on. And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that Reddit will be super saturated. I think LinkedIn maybe already started taking some action. Reddit might have as well. So I know Stuart provides updates over on his channel. So if you want the latest, be sure to check it out. And you can look for, you know, roughly the March, April timeframe or so of 2024 if you're consuming this a long time in the future. So coming back to the personal branding, I mean, that is what I am advising people these days. Like if they're like, hey, I want to start a side hustle, I'm not telling people to start a blog, you know, start a niche site. You can still learn some cool stuff, but the fact is it's going to take a long time to get traction. It'll take a long time to rank. It's a lot of work. And unless you really want to write, unless you cannot get it out of your head and you want to start a blog, then you probably should do something else. YouTube is great. There's a lot of people that are scared to get on YouTube just because you're putting yourself out there, especially on video. I push podcasting. It's a little bit of a bridge between blogging, YouTube. You still have to put yourself out there. It can be a little bit stressful. It's very awkward to, if you just have a solo show, just talk to yourself. But there's a lot of different formats out there. And as I've said a few times, podcasting is the hammer that I'm trying to hit everything with. And I will just justify either YouTube or podcast in this way. So even if you don't even care if you have a following, if you have a podcast or a YouTube channel and you produce videos, you will have to clarify your thoughts. You will have to think about things and you will have to either write it down or talk your way through it. But it forces you to make a decision about what you think about a various topic. And that is very powerful, because otherwise you're just kind of spinning around in your own head and you're not coming to a conclusion. You can change your mind when you get new information. You should potentially change your mind, or at least consider it if it contradicts what you thought before. But the whole point is, even if no one consumes the podcast or YouTube videos that you're creating, hell, you don't even have to publish them. But if you actually produce content, you are thinking about things critically and you are actually processing your thoughts and putting them in some final version where you're producing content and you're publishing. You could do the same thing with blogging, and a lot of people say that when you write, it does force you to clarify your thoughts. Writing is like thinking on paper or typing it out. But the point is, it makes you think a little bit harder and come to a conclusion. We had to do that when we were in school and stuff. But once you get out of school and we're independent, we can do whatever we want. It's really easy to not do that. So that is why I still believe podcast or YouTube, do it. You will become a better speaker. You'll be a better communicator. You will think more clearly about whatever it is you're analyzing. So that's my pitch. Check out Stuart's stuff. Great YouTube channel out there. If you have a minute, if you like these shows, do me a favor, download all the episodes that you can. All right. All the episodes that you can. That's why I'm putting out two parters with interviews. I always separate them into two parts. And leave a review out there if you have a chance. I really appreciate it. All that stuff does help. Leave comments on YouTube videos. You can say anything you want on there. You can leave an inside joke, random stuff. It doesn't even matter. I appreciate the support out there, and we'll catch you on the next episode.